As God continues to show you and I exactly what He wants us to do in this world, He said, I want you to pay close attention. For when I give you direction, I'm going to give you direction directly to your spirit. Now, I want you to know, Larry, that my spirit and your spirit are interconnected. I am in you. I will speak to you. I will share with you. I will walk with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. We are connected, but we are connected spiritually. And Larry, understand something. From me, you will always hear the truth. For I am truth, and that's our connection. Why? Why would God want to connect to the human race so intimately? Why would He want that type of relationship with us? Well, the Bible says that He created us to love us, and that He gave us, and only us, of all His creation, the ability to love Him back. I give you the ability to love me, and I want you to know that I loved you first. You can't love me unless you understand that I loved you first. I create, now think about what kind of love that is. That kind of love is, I know what you're going to do before you were ever born. All of the foolishness and all, and I just want you to know I love you. I know all the horrible mistakes, all the different ditches of life, and I'll go on that cross for you. Because I love you. Now that's the kind of love you and I have been given by our Savior. That's why He saved you, Randy. To love you. And yet we are given that ability to reciprocate or to love Him back. Or not to. That's the great dilemma within the world. Individuals witnessing the love of God. Now you cannot be alive and not realize God exists. Now, you can attempt to fool yourself, but anyone knows that all of this did not come from a bang. And what bang there may have been, God made the bang. So He says, I've created all that exists, and I created it all for you. Now, does that not sound like love? All existence, it's not just this world. It's all that exists. See, God didn't need all this stuff. He didn't need all those planets. He didn't need anything. He chose to create all that exists for you and me because He loves us. So, how much does He love us? So much. There's no word that can explain it. Just so much. Jesus said, I just so much love you. So much is not just enough. So much is so much that love that He has placed within you and me, it will overflow onto a world that doesn't know Him. That's the part of the Christian experience. See, our life is not just a Christian existence. It's a Christian experience. And it's not just for us. That experience is given to Christians to share with the world that do not know Christ. I want you to know that how much Jesus loves you. Because Jesus loves you so much. He wants to bring peace to your life. So many individuals in the home life. Those home lives are not what they seem like for people on the outside. Everybody has trouble in their families. You got it? There's nothing new in the experiences that you're going through. The names have changed, but the innocent are still not protected. And the Lord says, I have come to you, for I want you to know my hour has come. Your hour has come. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the hour came. My hour. No, actually, I wasn't born some 2,000 years ago. But in reality, in God's mind and in God's creation, I was born in His mind at the birth of existence. I knew you before you were ever even conceived. And He says, I want you to know that the time is coming and your hour is coming. Jesus came and He says, this is your hour. Church, this generation, we have the greatest of all responsibilities, because we are living in a time that has never been witnessed before. The time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God on all creation. It's just not the human race that received the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. It is all that exists. Earth received His grace and His mercy. Everything that exists at the dawn of the church age, the beginning of the end of the age in which we're living, God said, I give to you life. I want you not to just have the kind of life to where you're just breathing. There's a lot of people out there that the doctor said, yes, they're alive. Yet on the inside, they don't feel alive. They're breathing. They're existing. But they don't have an excitement about life. What do we do in those situations? You and I, as Christians, as individuals who's been given the gift and the obligation to proclaim the truth by Jesus Christ Himself, we are to give them hope. See, I have no hope in this life. Look at it. What does God's Word say? The wise man thinks of death often. The fool lives for the day. You see, in death is life. The hope that you and I have is the hope of the time to come. Right now I have that hope. Soon I will step over into the promised land. Do I understand it? Don't have to. Because you see, God said, whosoever believes in Jesus shall never die. So here I am. I'm just floating along down here. I'm dealing with what's not real. What's truly real is yet to be able to truly experience, except spiritually. You ain't seen nothing yet, folks. For all of my grammar teachers, apologize, but no, I don't. You ain't seen nothing yet either. God says, I want you to understand the hour, my hour, has come and has come to you. What did He do in that hour? He said, the hour has come for spirit and truth worship. Spirit and truth worship. The spirit that Christ had given us, that we have indwelling us. It's a spiritual awakening time. For that spirit connected with the truth, who is Jesus, Our spirits are connected with the physical, spiritual Jesus. All of Jesus you ever going to get's already been offered to you. But he said it's a spiritual connection. And you connect your spirit to my truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So therefore, spiritually, connecting with Jesus, the truth is mine. And the truth is, you ain't going to die. You're going to pass from this body, which the older you get, the more excited you get about it. You're going to pass from this body into the ultimate spiritual realm of Jesus Christ. Listen to him. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and what does he say? Man, it now is. Always break down something when you're looking at the New Testament. The hour is coming. It's a quote from the old. The hour is coming. And Jesus is quoting it and saying, all. And now is. Then I'm here. The hour is here. It is time when the true worshipers, you got that? True worshipers and are truth worshipers will worship the Father. How? In spirit and truth. Spiritually with Jesus. Jesus says, I'm indwelling you. Spiritually. That's the way I want you to worship me. I do not have to have all bones working right and have to bend in a certain position or close my eyes and bow my head to pray to my Lord. He knows the position and the condition that you're in. And he says, I want you getting spiritual with me, Larry. Well, see, my spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ has nothing to do with my physical aches and pains. Or how someone out there may say, well, now you need to do it this way. I remember years ago at Etna Grove Baptist Church down in Greene County, all of the men, when they would pray, they were on their knees, some of them on their face. A lot of shouting and all going on. I grew up in that. Well, I had always, I would kneel down on one knee to pray. And I remember when I started my revivals, and as I was going to the first few churches in revival, I heard someone say, because I would walk from wherever they had me, I would walk up, and I would kneel and ask God's blessing upon the message. And I heard someone saying, what's he kneeling for? What's wrong? And those were the days when I wore the crosses too, so they thought I was really out of there. What that Catholic doing there in a Baptist church kneeling? What's wrong with him? And I realized how people pay attention to the physical condition of worship and aren't paying any attention at all to what's coming from the Spirit. Would you quit looking physically and start listening from your heart spiritually? For it is in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So God says, this is what I call worship. Spiritual. You know who saved you, don't you, Brother Randy? As a spiritual worship. Recognizing Christ as Lord in our life. I don't care if you're on a Harley driving down the road spitting backer out your mouth. If you know Jesus, you know Jesus. I don't know that you call that holy spitting, but whatever. Do you get the point? Let's get real, folks. Because Jesus truly is. So he says the hour is there for spirit and truth worship. And then, listen to this. The hour has come for salvation, not condemnation. Well, first of all, I want to tell you about Jesus. But before I tell you about Jesus, I want to tell you all of your problems. I want to tell you about your dress code. I want to tell, well, I heard a dirty word come out of your mouth. Now, how could you ever, ever be a Christian with language like that? I know folks that get upset when I said doggone. I haven't figured that one out yet. Unless they were dog lovers thinking that I'd got the dog. Think of people. See, the Lord said, for salvation, not condemnation. Listen to this about Jesus. You ready? John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, I've come to save. Well, Lord, you're going to condemn them first? Man condemned himself. Jesus didn't come to condemn, he said. And the time that he came that I'm talking about, he did not come to judge. Think of that. Meaning the judgment of heaven and hell for these people. He said, I came to save. I came to talk to you. Do you really think in your heart or even in your mind that the human dozen disciples that he had, almost said dirty dozen, they came, you know, they were fishermen. I'm sure they didn't always smell just good. They were human beings. And he picked them. Every one flawed. Every one. Even chose one that's the devil from the beginning. He said, you, I've come to seek and to save. I did not come to bring condemnation. Preach the word. Teach the word. Christians, walk in my truth. Walk in my spirit. Come alive spiritually. And when you come alive spiritually, that physical existence is secondary. That's what we need to look at. What's primary in our life and what's secondary? Are you more interested in the primary living of what feels good, what does good? You know, what makes me the most comfortable? Once again, as we age, we realize something. There's not hardly any position we can get in, we get comfortable. Well, how good do you sleep at night? I think I sleep because I wake up from something maybe 20 to 30 times a night. So I must have been asleep to wake up. That's not the question. What do you feel, Larry, about leaving that body and coming to be with me? I feel good, Lord. I feel good. Because there is a hope there that you and I cannot imagine. Not only is there a hope, that is why he came. To bring me salvation. To bring you salvation. To bring salvation to the world. To those individuals that see no hope. To those individuals that don't feel loved. God said, I love you. And I want you to know that I've just got you there for a short period of time. Why are we going through this? I don't have the slightest idea. I'm going through it because I know it's the will of God. I'm going to give you life. You don't have a right to take your own life. You don't have a right to take somebody else's life except in self-defense. You don't have that right, Larry. So I want you to go down and I want you to live your life. And would you keep your mouth shut about how everybody else is living theirs? If they can't be convicted by the Holy Spirit, you think you're really going to do any good with your griping and complaining? Oh, my wife won't come to church. I just keep nagging her and nagging her. Well, after 20 years, when you find out that don't work, don't you think you ought to try something else? Jesus said, I'll convict the heart. I came to Jesus, everybody in here who knows Jesus. You came to Jesus because Jesus convicted you. Meaning he says, here I am. I love you. Will you accept my love? And you have a choice, yes or no. I didn't come to condemn you, Larry. I came to save you. For God did not send his Son into the world, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the might be, meaning, my friends, all of us are given the chance of salvation. Time and time and time again. How many times over the years have I preached and proclaimed, folks, you have to work to go to hell. It's hard to get to hell. Because Jesus is out there showing you love every step of the way. It's in your relationship with him. Not in who you know in the world, but who lives in you spiritually. What's your spiritual connection? Jesus says, I love you enough that when you say yes to me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you worry about what comes tomorrow, because I'm in control of tomorrow. And I'm the one that says whether there's even going to be a tomorrow or not. Now, that's the one I want to be serving. Not those who say, I can kill you if you proclaim Jesus again. Well, what are you going to do what's left of me after you kill me? I think it's still against the law to eat me. Unless there's some new laws out there, I keep hearing them pop up. Then what? But you know what God says? Don't fear them. Don't fear man who can only kill the body and after that they have nothing to say. Fear God who not only can kill the body but cast your spirit to hell. Fear him. The Christian, have no fear at all. You're mine. Come on, Christians. We have to get that part down. The only thing holding us back is our fear of what people are going to say or what people are going to think. You heard Brother Randy a while ago. Who cares? I got news for you. There are people out there are never going to like you. Never. I don't care what you do. They don't like you. They don't like the way I wear my hair. And they won't like the way you wear yours. That's the world. But do you know that I'm not judged by the world? Doesn't amount to anything. Jesus said, I want to come live with you. But Lord, I don't have a very nice place. Tell me, folks, how many of you think and see yourself as living better than in a manger, than in a stall where cattle or animals are feeding? You a little better off than that? Jesus said, I'm going to come in you. Do you know what he knows about what's in you? He said he created everything about you. Well, Lord, you know, sometimes my thinking is a little off. You're not fooling Jesus. Folks, he knows all the time our thinking is off. Not sometime. We're a mess. But he said, I love you and I'm going to indwell you. And I'm going to bless your heart. And I will bring peace in you that surpasses all understanding. That's a spiritual awakening, though. And you need to come alive spiritually. And then he said, the hour has come for recognition of true believers. Now, I'm giving you this scripture because I want you to know what God says to us about how do you recognize whether an individual is truly a Christian or not. Now, are you listening to me? I want you to read it. I want you to look at it. You all have a printout. You have it on the screen. It's the 1 John 4:2. This is how you will know. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Are you ready? Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Meaning, I believe Jesus is who he says he is. I believe Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, walked in the flesh. I believe that. A non-believer cannot even say that. And I've proven that over the years. Go ask them. Ask them this. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that God walked in the flesh? It's hard for me to believe that. It's not hard for me to believe it. It's hard for you to believe it, Christian. You know why? That's spiritual awakening. I know spiritually that he did. Well, I don't have it here, but 1 John 4:3, I believe, when you're reading it, this is 4:2. But he who does not recognize or say that Jesus walked in the flesh is the Antichrist. And then John goes on to say, and there are many that are already among you, which naturally means that if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, then they have to have the spirit of the Antichrist, right? And there are many little ones out here. There is an ultimate Antichrist coming. I have no idea who he is. And I know it's not my credit card. I know it's not a number that man can assign, only a number that evil assigns. There are a lot of Antichrists on earth right now, yes. But what about that great Antichrist? Well, folks, you will learn the end time study. You'll learn about the Antichrist. You will learn also about true believers not sweating it. I believe during the millennial reign that the church will have already been taken up. I'm not going to have to deal with the Antichrist, the bad, bad, bad one. I'm out of here. Is he coming? You better believe it. Is he horrible? You better believe it. Look at the Antichrist you have already heard and met on earth. You hear them all the time. Are they not sort of frightening? I get frightened for them. The blasphemy. And let me tell you another big blasphemy that you'll be hearing on Easter Sunday. It'll be coming. Don't get involved with it. Or it's April Fool's. And only fools believe in Easter. You'll be hearing it. You got it? 'Cause April the 1st. Mocking. Greatest fool there is. The Bible says who the fool is. He who says there is no God, he's the fool. He is a fool and the truth is not in him. But he says, the hour has come. I want to bring you to life. It's not the kind of life the world understands. It's that spiritual awakening that I will give you. I can only tell you, folks, the greatest feeling I've ever had was a few years ago when I had became aware that I no longer had any fear whatsoever of dying or death. I don't. I don't like the pain part. But I don't. But I don't have time to die right now. You got it? I got a job to do. When it's over, the Lord will say, okay, Larry, come on. You see my body fall, my body collapse. I'm out of here. You do with it what you want. But the Lord says, you better respect it because I created it. You better respect that body, even when the spirit is absent, because I created that body for that special spirit to walk through their life with. And God says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whoever comes through his gate will be welcome for God Himself. Remember that, because it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name for all the blessings of life, the joy of our salvation, for the truth that only You can give. We ask now, Heavenly Father, as You touch our life, You will encourage each of us. Give us the strength to stand for You, Father, in all that we do. Give us the holy boldness when the world comes knocking at our door. Help us, Father, that we might help one another. In Jesus' name, amen.